We saw this story today and we thought you might enjoy it. Actually, before that, let me update you on COVID-19. There are no new cases to report in the community in New Zealand today, so that uninterrupted stretch continues. Bad news in New South Wales, though, or more bad news, 145 new local cases and 51 of them infectious while in the community. And the Premier there is stressing again to people not to leave home and mingle with other households. She says that's still a challenge, and you might have heard some reports on RNZ earlier today about lockdown protests in Australia, so they're really up against it. 21 to 2, we caught this story this morning and thought you might be interested. This year's Whitcool's Top 100 list is out today. It's one where readers vote for their favourite books. There's a new number one, and there are 13 books from New Zealand authors. And I'm joined by Whitcool's book manager, Joan McKenzie. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
This is good fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Talking about books.
Yeah. and I guess a kind of a ranking is always fun to do as well, you know?
Well, it's really interesting to see what people are reading and what gets them motivated.
Yeah. So we better go to the number one first.
The number one?
Yeah. What's happened there?
Lucinda Riley, whose series called The Seven Sisters has been so huge over the last year to 18 months, more and more people are getting onto it, and more of them voted for it, so it knocked Harry Potter off his perch, and The Seven Sisters has taken out number one, which is really great.
Yeah, and not really a household name like Harry Potter is, but I guess well-known if you're interested in books.
If you're interested in books, and once you've picked up the series, there are seven books in the series, with an eighth yet to come, so you know, it gets you hooked in for quite a while.
Do you rank the series as one book?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense, rather than having seven different Harry Potter books in the top 10, doesn't it?
In fact, through the top 100, there are 20 different series, which each we treat as a book and try and squash them all onto the shelf together.
What were the surprises for you on the list?
Oh, well, I think one of the things that really struck me was the degree to which social media is having an impact, and specifically there is a platform called BookTok, which as I understand it is a subset of TikTok, and I only came across this in the relatively recent past, but I was amazed at the number of books that were voted for that have been featured on BookTok, with all the creative enthusiasm that people bring to that platform. It's just amazing, and the thing about these books is that none of them are new. There's one called Song of Achilles, which I think published in 2011. There's a number of them, all of which are reasonably dated, but somehow people are picking up on them and loving them.
They're getting some new momentum.
Yeah, they really are. It's wonderful.
What about the New Zealand books on the list? What are the standouts there?
Well, what's interesting there is the diversity of them, because there's a couple of cookbooks. The Edmonds Cookery book got knocked off this year, but Chelsea Winter has come on instead. And there's another one called Keepers, but there's Aroha, which is Dr. Hinamoa Elder's beautiful book. There's The Girl in the Mirror, which is a thriller from Rose Carlisle, the Devonport-based writer, which has been sold for major movie rights. There's Awe, which won the New Zealand Ockham Book Awards last year. So real diversity in the kind of New Zealand books that are being loved, but it's great to see them there.
You could probably argue The Tattooist of Auschwitz is a New Zealand book as
Indeed,
well.
Indeed you could, yes.
Yeah. And then there are some that just never seem to go away, right? To Kill a Mockingbird in at number 9.
Yep, amazing. Just stays and stays. Sadly, a couple of my favourites got bumped off, but, you know, that's what happens.
Go on.
Well, I loved I Know This Much Is True by Wally Lamb, and one of my all-time favourite books is that one set in India, A Fine Balance by Rowanton Mystery, which has been on the list, both of them actually, for years and years and years. But this year, interestingly, the list changed by 40%, which is more than it typically does. And I think it's because last year people were reading more and getting back and finding the love for books.
It's been a lot of turnover, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it's good for business, but what is the point of doing a top 100 like this, do you think?
Well, I think it gives people a chance to share their enthusiasms, which we're all for, and really grateful that so many people took the time to send in their votes and tell us what they're loving. And I think the thing that it does is if you're in the market for a new book and you go and you look at that top 100, you can say, well, if thousands of other people loved this, then probably I won't be disappointed.
If I don't like it, something's wrong with me, not with the book. Have you gone through the list to work out how many of them you've read?
No, I haven't actually, but a fair chunk.
Yeah. And does it, I mean, how much I guess more recent books will have a bit of an advantage. This is technically a top 100 of all time, right?
There's always an element of fashion. You know, a book can be a Netflix series or a movie this year and get voted on, and then next year it's gone completely and replaced by something else. So there's always something to do with what's trending or what's fashionable. Last year there was a book very high on the list called Lady in Waiting, which you might know, by Lady Anne Glenconner in the UK, and she wrote her life story, which is absolutely extraordinary.
Wow.
She was going to come here and do some talks, but COVID put paid to it. But people last year loved that book and voted it high up on the list, and this year it's gone.
Just a quick look around the rest of the top 10. Where the Crawdads Sing, Delia Owens.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about this book. One.
It's set in southern states of America about a young girl who's essentially abandoned by her family and drags herself up through the marshes. And there's a murder mystery associated with it. She meets a couple of local guys and things unfold, and it's beautifully, beautifully done.
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yes, Sarah J. Maas. Again, that's one of the series that's made the list, and she's on a couple of times, actually. It is not my genre, I have to say. It's fantasy, which I'm not particularly good at, but, hey, I'm in the minority, I think.
Yeah, no, you and me both, actually. I read it and I go, OK, I get it for somebody. This is for somebody. It's maybe just not for me.
Yeah.
But maybe when the world is particularly bleak, fantasy becomes more important. Outlander, which I know has a lot of fans. We had someone in here recently talking about how much they enjoyed it.
And there's a new one coming in November.
Great. That's a series from Diana Gabaldon. Pride and Prejudice is in at number 6.
Every single year.
Yeah. The Book Thief, that's a regular.
Yes, it is.
The Lord of the Rings, To Kill a Mockingbird. And then rounding out the top 10 is The Grishaverse.
Yes, again, it's fantasy. There's a couple of strands which make it up, I believe, one of which is called Six of Crows and is currently streaming on one of the platforms. Again, because it's fantasy, it's not something I'm intimately acquainted with, but it got right up there to number 10.
I guess it's possible the fantasy people are more passionate and, you know, getting out there to vote as well.
Well, I hope so. Good on them.
Yeah. Thanks for taking us through it.
Pleasure.
Joan McKenzie from Whitkill's talking about the top 100. Joan is the book manager for Whitkill.